Bible says in verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not." This is the New King James Version. We got all the new Bibles that are in there from the Gideons is the New King James Version. So if you see the little blue Bible, that's the New King James. If you got an old King James, that's okay, because it's virtually the same. Just some of the words are the Elizabethan words are taken and changed into modern words. But his heart is not with you. Verse 8, the morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up, and you will waste your pleasant words. Wow. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless, for the Redeemer is mighty. Their Redeemer is mighty, and he will plead their cause against you. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. So let's just stop it right there for a minute. We're going to go ahead and jump into this thing. Remember, your attitude determines your altitude. You know, if you take an airplane and you take all the components of the airplane that makes it fly, number one thing about an airplane is, you know that the only way an airplane can fly is to go against the wind. It doesn't go with the wind, it goes against the wind. When the propellers are running, they're pushing against the airplane. All right? The airplane goes against the wind. If you really want to do something in your life, don't think that everything's going to be going your way. Matter of fact, I've learned more when it's going against me than I have when it's been going for me. All right? So now, but if you take the airplane and you take the rudders, the positions of the rudders and the tail and all this stuff, and you start looking on the gauges and you see where the bubble's up and you see it going up and down in the bubble, you know what that's called? When all this together is working, it's called the plane's attitude. And so if the attitude is pointed up, the plane rises. If the attitude is pointed down, the plane goes down. So now, in our life, if our attitude is down, we're going down. If our attitude is up, we're going up. Amen? All right, so here we go. Verse number 7, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Let me just tell you this. Your thoughts, not my thoughts. Your thoughts, not somebody else's thoughts about you. Your thoughts determine your character. Your thoughts determine your attitude. Your thoughts determine your destiny, not my thoughts towards you. All right? We got to get that clear, because a lot of times we let ourselves be held hostage by other people. I'm going to tell you what, you will not find everybody in this world liking you. You will not find everybody in this world saying a word you want to hear. The Bible says, woe unto them that everybody speaks well of, because if everybody's speaking well of them, then obviously he's trying to please everybody, because now he hasn't aggravated anybody. So again, somebody said, I've heard them tell me, well, that person just didn't seem like they liked you, David. And I said, well, that's good. And I said, why is that good? I said, because woe unto him that everybody likes. I said, so obviously I'm doing something right if somebody don't like me. Not only that, do you know there's about 10% of people you meet will never like you no matter what you do? That kind of goes up to 20%. So between 10 and 20% of people you meet, some of them will never, no matter what you do, you could give them a $100 bill when you introduced yourself to them, and they still would not like you. So remember, we're not trying to get liked here. We're trying to please God. Okay? So remember, my thoughts toward me determine my character. They determine my destiny. They determine my attitude. Because I got some folks that think I'm smart, and I got some folks that think I just climbed off the back of a turnip truck. It's okay. It's not what they think. It's what I think. Right? Oh, yeah. That's sure. But you know what? It's the times we live in. And you know what? I that's where I have to adjust my attitude. So when I'm going by them, it's like the eagles. I told you, the eagles out here, I can tell when it's really a really, really, really bad storm coming up, because the other birds will be gone and the eagles will be way up high in the sky. Why are the eagles up high in the sky? Because they're flying above the storm. The other birds can't do that. And so they're hiding from the storm, but the eagles are above the storm. And so I know there's some people I meet that have a crummy attitude. I know there's some people I meet that their favorite song is "How Great I Am, How Great I Am." You know, there's some people you meet go, okay. I mean, I've literally met people that go, okay, that's enough of me talking about me. Now you talk about me for a while. But you know what? I know that's going to happen. And so I adjust my attitude when I'm around them. Also, remember this, you can't always direct the wind, but you can adjust your sails. Okay, so you got to adjust your sails, be ready for this. And I already know there's people like that, and I just have to deal with it. You know, so now, that's right. So number one, remember this, it's my thoughts. My thoughts is determines my attitude, not your thoughts. My thoughts determine my own attitude. It determines if I'm flying high or I'm flying low. Number two, in verse 7, be careful of your thoughts because they may break into words at any time. How many is famous for opening mouth in certain foot? I thought about making me a shoe shine brush that had a shoe shine brush on one side and a toothbrush on the other side. So I could brush my teeth and shine my shoes at the same time while my foot's in my mouth. So be careful. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Luke 6 and 45 and Luke 12 and 34 says, "For out of your mind, or out of the abundance of your mind or your heart, the mouth speaks." So you have to be careful. There's times where remember telling you about being at the store and the man staring at me, and I'm thinking, why is this man staring at me? I wish he quit staring at me. Does he understand he's bothering me? I wish he would quit staring at me. Then I realized he was blind. You know, then I felt bad. Or I'm trying to get into this parking space, and as I'm trying to pull into this parking space, here comes this young guy, pulls in, jumps and pulls right in front of me. He runs inside, and then he runs out and gets in his car, and I'm thinking he was so rude and so thinking of himself only, and didn't realize that he had a baby that had a temperature of 105, and he had to get there to get medicine for his child. He wasn't concerned about whether I got that parking space or not. He was trying to get there to get medicine for his child. So again, you got to be careful, because sometimes, you know, I get a disease. I know y'all don't, but I do. And this disease really messes up things. It's called diarrhea of the mouth and constipation of the brain. And Imodium AD does not help. And so you got to be careful about speaking, and especially when you're really not sure exactly what's going on, because sometimes you can get all upset. I have fussed with my kids before. I like watching the Andy Griffith Show because Opie's always doing that to his dad. You know, his dad getting all upset with Opie and telling him you shouldn't be acting like that, but then find out Opie was actually doing something good. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the treasure of his heart bring forth good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil." And that word evil doesn't always mean sin. There's times where that word evil means self-centered. Okay? So there's people that are so self-centered, they're not worried about you. They're just worried about themselves and how they can get the most out of what they can. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So, again, the Bible tells us constantly to guard our mouth, to set a watch on our mouth, because if we're not careful, we will say something, and I'm guilty, guilty, guilty. We'll say something, and you know what's even worse than saying something at times is not saying something. So, again, be careful of your thoughts, because they'll break into words, and sometimes they're not necessarily the words that need to be heard. Number three. Now we are moving on, right? We're doing good. We're in number three. Somebody say amen. Don't waste your thoughts on those who don't hunger for them. Don't waste your thoughts on those people that don't hunger for them. Matthew 7:6. Or the Bible says right here in verse 9, it says, don't speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Wow. Wow, that's pretty awesome right there. Think about that. Let me get back over there to it. Don't speak in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of the words. Don't speak in the ears of a self-confident fool, for he will despise the godly wisdom of your words. I like when the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before the swine. And there's people I'll go to, and they'll say, I don't know what's going on. I can't figure this out. And you go, well, the Bible says. And they'll go, I don't want to hear what the Bible says. Just help me get out of this. Okay, well, we can if you take what the Bible. And they'll go, no, I really want to hear it. And then they go to everybody else. And then they'll come back and go, what did the Bible say? Because they realized what they were hearing was not helping. They knew the Bible would help. So again, it doesn't do good to cast your pearl before the swine, because there's people that just don't. Look, there's people that honestly, and there's that 20% don't like you anyway. Again, you could give them a $100 bill and tell them everything's okay, and they're not going to like you. So, but then there's other people that just won't listen. They're just hard-headed. How many here know somebody just hard-headed? I make a point at them. I like what Stephen was doing like this. Yeah, Stephen was talking about him and his son, then he told about me and him too. The Lord, his son, he said about his son, but then he told about me one time too, and that was the Lord had recolored my hair and repossessed his. There's only a few perfect heads, and they're the ones that get a chance to show that. Did y'all hear that? That's good. God is good. God is fair. To some he gave brains, to other he gave hair. All right. Okay. Now. No, I'm looking up because I'm hard to see, and I was wondering, Eddie, can we get that light on here? It's hard for me to read my book. I know I hear all the time. Sometimes we have it too dark in here, and you can't see. And now I'm reaping from. That's the wrong one, bro. But thank you. It's like the guy was out looking around under the street light and trying to find his keys. And the guy said, "Well, have you found him?" He says, "No." And he says, "I got a question for you." He says, "What?" I said, "Your car's over there. I thought you lost your keys over there." He said, "I did." He said, "Why are you looking up under the street light?" He said, "Because there's no light over there." Okay. Okay, this is better. All right. Number four. Here's another one, just like number one. The first person, let me read it first, number 12, verse 12. It says, apply thy heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Apply your mind to instruction and correction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Because watch this. The first person you lead is you. Wow. There's a lot of people want to lead a lot of people. They want to do a lot of people. They want to try to tell people what to do and how to do it, and they're not even taking care of themselves. The first person you lead is you. The first organ you master is your mind. Y'all got real quiet. Write it down. Yeah. Well, on that, but yeah, y'all don't have it written down. Y'all got to write it down. The first person you lead is you. I'll leave that one just like it is. I don't have to even add anything to it. That's pretty cool. The next one, verse 17 says, Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Watch this. This is so awesome. Don't let your mind drift away from God's truth into vain envy. If you want to have a good mind and good attitude, you can't let your mind drift into, well, my brother over there, look what he's got. My sister over here, look at what they're doing. And my brother over here and my sister over, no. You keep your mind in God's truth. Keep it there. Philippians 3 and 13, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus. Now, let me read it a little different way here, give you a little breakdown of it. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured or made it my own yet. But it's one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling me upward. If you look in the first of this chapter, you'll see he's talking about all the great things he did in religion, all these great awards and all this stuff he had done and how awesome he was with religion. And now looking at all the stuff he is, how awesome he is in God. And he said, hold on. Look, here's what you do. Don't dwell. It's okay to have success. It's even okay to have failure. But success and failure is there. You build on your success and you learn from your failure. Ready? You build on your success, you learn from your failure, but you don't dwell on either one of them. Make sense? You learn from your failures, you build on your successes, but you do not dwell on either one of them. Because if you dwell on them, you're stuck. If I'm building on my success, I'm moving forward. If I'm learning from my failure, I'm moving forward. If I'm dwelling on it, I'm stuck. Number 6. And this is all about, again, this is just reiterating and helping out from Sunday. This is the nuts and bolts from Sunday. Okay? Number 6. Stay in faith that your vision will come to pass. Verse 18 says, for surety this is an end, and an expectation shall not be cut off. For surely there is a latter end, a future and a reward, and your hope and your expectation shall not be cut off. Stay in faith that your vision will come to pass, that what God has called you to do is going to happen. Stay in your faith and believe that. Again, this is part of the attitude. If you don't stay in faith, if you start looking around you at your successes and your failures, you start looking at people around you and what they're doing, pretty soon, and casting your pearl before the swine, pretty soon your attitude is going to be stinking. And you don't need stinking thinking. Amen. I was riding to a funeral down Bay City Road, and as I was riding, no, it was on 306, and I'm riding down 306 trying to get there, I happened to see a little animal in the road, and I saw his tail where he had just been hit. And I couldn't see what it was. So I was going to, and it was close, it was right in my side, it was right there where I could run over him again. So I tried to be slick and pull around him and go over him. The only problem was, I didn't know until after I went over him. After I went over him, I went. Somebody had just hit a skunk. And when I went to that funeral, I noticed people weren't hanging around me. I didn't even hit the skunk. I just went over him. But Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. Woo! Because when I happened to come, as a matter of fact, I think the guy in front of me hit him. And so I'm riding behind him. I can't even hardly see what he is until I get over top of him. And I didn't even see him. I smelled him before I realized what he was. And if you've ever smelled a skunk, you know there's nothing like a skunk. They got a smell of their own. Amen. So, again, if you get stinking thinking, you don't even have to be the one with the stinking thinking. You can be hanging with people with stinking thinking, and it'll rub off on you. So it's important that you are the one that shows them how to not be a stinker thinker. Amen. You have to show other people how to avoid the skunks in their mind. Okay? Yeah, that's right. So here we go. We're almost through. What one were we on then? Six? I told you we're going to go through this fast tonight. Normally we ought to be on about number two, so we're doing good tonight. Number seven. It was stay in faith that your vision will come to pass. Verse 18. Stay in faith that your reward's coming. Verse 18. Number 7. This is our final one. Again, this has to do with stinking thinking. Matter of fact, you ought to look at somebody sometime and say, has a skunk run through your mind? Instead of seeing Daniel Boone with a coonskin hat, you think about seeing that guy with a skunk hat. Obviously, a skunk has run through your mind barefooted. Okay. Verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way, or direct your mind in the way of the Lord. So here it is. Number 7. Discipline your mind to remain steadfast in what you know is right. And all this stuff in front of you is right. Make your mind, look, remove the skunks from your mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. Well, in the Common English Version, it says, more than anything you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Protect your mind, for life flows from your mind. So again, number 7 is saying, watch out for the other 6. Make sure you get that in your mind, cement it in your mind. That number 1, my thoughts determine what I do. My thoughts determine my destiny, my attitude, not somebody else's mind. Be careful of my thoughts because they may break into words at any time. Number 3, don't waste your thoughts on those who don't hunger for them. Number 4, the first person you lead is you. Number 5, don't let your mind drift from God's truth into vain envy about what everybody else is doing and what everybody else has got and how they feel and all this. No, you know what? They've got to handle that. That's between them and God. Number 6, stay in faith because your vision, your destiny, your reward is coming. And number 7, discipline yourself to be steadfast in doing all those things, and your attitude will be great. And you won't have to walk around with a skunk skin hat. Yeah, I look at that and I think about that. You know, sometimes I like to pass out. I like to pass out, just have some, maybe a little miniatures, little skunk hats or little skunks, little Pepe Le Pews, and pass them out to people. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, that's no problem. Number 1. Number 1, your thoughts determine your character, your destiny, your attitude. Your thoughts, not somebody else's. Let me know when you're ready. I'll give you number 2. Number 2, be careful of your thoughts. They may break into words at any time. That's right. That's right. Because they may break into words at any time. If you'll think twice and speak once, you'll be in a whole lot better position. That's right. I'm guilty. I am guilty. Any thoughts or any comments before we close? That's a good one. Now, what it means is, what it's talking about is, again, it's just talking about keep what you're doing to yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you're helping somebody or you're doing something, there's some people that just love to mess up whatever you're doing. They would try their best just to mess it up. And I've seen people do that. They get a kick out of making whatever you're doing mess it up. You know, so sometimes I just keep my mouth shut when I'm helping somebody, or keep my mouth shut when we're building something, or when you have a vision or a dream or something. You just give it to the people that need to know it, because if you don't, there's some people out there. All right, have you ever heard of the crab factor? The crab factor. Do you know that you can take a bucket full of crabs? This is a fact. You can take a bucket full of crabs, and if one crab decides it's going to climb out, as it tries to climb out, as it starts reaching for the top of the bucket to get out, the other crabs will grab him and pull him back in. Have you ever noticed? There you go. There's the man right there. He can verify it. You don't have to put a top on it. Yeah, you get that crab. One crab tries to climb out, and the other will pull him back. No, you come on back here. And so sometimes you're trying to get up and get out. You're trying to do something. And so it's just sometimes better off if you just tell the people that's necessary to know. Because if you don't, then there's always going to be another crab to pull you down. Look, the crab's going to have a skunk skin hat on. I'm pretty sure Benny can tell you that one too. Yeah. Okay, turtles are like that too. We had a turtle in the fourth grade. We had a little turtle, and I reckon it was my time to feed it. I'm not sure. But that turtle bit me, and that turtle became Super Turtle. Super Turtle, because when it got a hold of my finger, all I knew to do was... Now, we did see one of those things from the ER where a guy, Linda, how big was that turtle? It bit the man right in the humongous turtle, bit him in the neck, and they didn't want him to let go, because if he'd have let go, he'd have bled to death. And so they were waiting. And then of course, you couldn't, there was a guy in there, honestly, the game warden people, wildlife were scared they were going to kill the turtle. And so they were trying to make sure they didn't kill the turtle while the guy's going to die with a turtle on his neck. Well, you know what? I got a cure for all that. It's called a saw. A decapitated turtle. No, for the turtle. Yeah. Yeah, they gave the turtle a shot, and the turtle got drunk and fell asleep. When it fell asleep, he opened his mouth and then they pulled the guy out. And yeah, wow, that's wild. That was a wild ride when the guy come in, because they were asking the same thing. How in the world do y'all three rednecks wind up getting a turtle? I'm pretty sure it was in a dog box or something. He reached in and said, "I think I can see that thing." Yeah, hey y'all, watch this. I like what somebody said the other night when I was preaching on about Sunday. Somebody said the famous last words of a redneck are, "Hey, y'all, watch this." And the famous last words of a preacher is, "I got this, Lord." I got this. Right. Well, see, I broke my collarbone. I could tie my shoe without bending over, and it was about to pop through the skin. So it was totally broke. And nowadays they put pins in it, but back then they didn't. And it was hanging down. And I walked in, and I said, they said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I got a broken collarbone." They said, "How do you know?" I said, "I heard it when it hit me in the throat. My shoulder hit me in the throat. We were playing football." And see, the guy that hit me the week before had his teeth knocked out. And they had wired his teeth back in. And so he was getting ready to fall on me. So he turned around, and instead of falling on me so he wouldn't hurt his teeth, he sat on me. And he sat right here, and my shoulder went up and it popped and it hit me in the neck. And then he gets up and starts grabbing his bottom and going, "Something broke. Yeah, something broke, all right." And so I go into the emergency room and I said, "I got a broken collarbone." And they said, "Let us be the judge of that." I said, "If you don't do something soon, I'm gonna be throwing up. You better do something." And so then they finally called mama. And they said, "You need to come in here quick. Your son's had an accident." And they said, "What's wrong?" I said, and I was thinking they were going to say he had a broken collarbone. They said, "He broke his clavicle." And my mama said, "Oh, no." Then she said, "What's a clavicle?" then the nurse put me in the brace and pulled me back like a rooster. And the doctor came in and argued with her because she already set me. And he said, "You can't set him. You got to be in the x-ray machine to set him." And they set it 7 times at the x-ray machine. So, right. Well, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but that's, well, if they get her on this, it is, I mean, she might have, there's certain things they can do and there's certain things that only certain people can do. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was at Beaufort County back in when I was 17. It was good ways ago. Yeah, they put me all back like this and I walked around. I went around like this for about 6 weeks. Well, Beaufort County is getting better since Vidant's taken over. Sir? You're going to Paul. Let's pray. We're getting way off track now. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your words of wisdom. Help us, Lord, to maintain a good attitude. Help us, Lord, to understand that it's not what happens to us. It's what happens through us. It's not what happens to us, Lord, but it's how we react to it. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, to understand that and to put it into practice, Lord, and put that stuff into practice. Carry it with us, put it to practice. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you for it. Church said, amen, amen, amen. Come on. Yeah.